Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Bruce Kracke, a sports dad, coach, and certified trainer for the Positive Coaching Alliance. He's worked with coaches and sports leaders across the country. Our topic, the doer makes mistakes. Joining us is my brother, mental game coach, Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports. By visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com, you'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Bruce. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Bruce.
So the doer makes mistakes. Let's talk about this idea. You were saying that where else can kids take part in an effort where gigantic efforts can lead to horrible consequences and it's still okay?
Well, I was actually misspoken. What I meant to say was where else can you give everything you have to a task and not have to face horrible consequences if you fail? So as an opportunity to learn in a safe environment, provided you have the proper culture in place. And then the flip side of that, the negative win-at-all-cost culture, if you make a mistake, it's catastrophic. You're removed immediately from the game, ostracized, perhaps punished with conditioning, and all the other things that make you freeze up, become nervous, narrow your mindset down to one that's more of a fixed mindset instead of a growth one. So what we try to implement with culture is create the environment where we know kids are going to make mistakes. It's invariable. Well, what happens on the next play? Do they hang their head and miss the ball, or have they bounced back and are approaching it with renewed vigor and determination because they know it's okay, it's going to happen. The important thing is to get ready for the next play.
Right. And let's back up. You were quoting someone about the whole idea of the doer makes mistakes before we started talking just now. And talking about, I mean, the whole idea is that you want kids to take risks.
Absolutely. John Wooden said, and they call me coach, he said, and I quote this, I've got it memorized, the team that makes the most mistakes will probably win. The doer makes mistakes, and I wanted doers on my team, players who made things happen. The takeaway for me from that is oftentimes in coaches' workshops when we get to this topic, there's quite a bit of pushback, especially when people start trying to discern between physical and mental mistakes. And what we're saying there is they're going to happen no matter what. How can you get your athlete ready to focus on the next play and address the mistake in a corrective way that is more of a tank, emotional tank filler than a tank drainer, and wait for an opportunity that's a teachable moment? I mean, obviously, after a crucial mistake in a game, a kid can't hear what you have to say anyway. So basically, part of our positive culture implementation deals with, all right, especially like a mistake ritual, we've got one called the flush where a player makes a mistake. They look immediately at the coach to see what the coach's reaction is, that they both make a flushing motion. It's like they've just flushed that mistake away, and he's ready for the next play and realizes that he's not going to get reamed in front of his peers. He's not going to get yanked out of the game, and he can go ahead and be aggressive and try something and take a risk next time, perhaps something he or she's been working on.
Right. Now, you said you get some pushback from coaches. What do you mean by that?
And this well, topic? Mistakes, and a lot of times coaches have this, and it's a fixed thing, I think, from their upbringing and their experience with sports is physical mistakes are going to happen, but mental mistakes are not okay. And at our Positive Coaching Alliance Trainer Institute a couple of weeks ago, one of my colleagues is a PhD at UCal Davis, and he talked about the difference, but there, in his opinion, there is no a difference between a mental and a physical mistake, and he got into the whole physical process of what that means. And it was pretty interesting stuff that I'm still trying to wrap my mind around. But at the end of the day, just the whole idea of how do we deal with this culturally is really important to realize it's gonna happen. How can we use that as a vehicle to learn from and also be able to feel good about the next play coming up?
Interesting. Now, Patrick, what's your view of this? I know you talk a lot about taking risks and the importance of feeling free to take risks.
Well, I think, Bruce, a lot of the work that I do in sports psychology is trying to get athletes beyond that tentative, cautious, fear of making mistakes type attitude And I see that a lot, where whether they're a perfectionist and they're trying to do it just right, whether they have fear of failure, and they're afraid to disappoint a parent or disappoint a coach, whether they have lack of trust in their skills, where they go out and they over-control what they do in competition. Seems like a lot of the mental game challenges for kids cause them to perform in that very tentative, non-risk-taking state. Mm-hmm. And I think so a lot of my work is trying to get them beyond some of those mental barriers so that they can perform more freely, intuitively, more confidently, obviously, and have more trust in their skills. Mm-hmm. So there's a big divide there. I think there's a big, you know, between the athletes that are gamers and can take their skills to competition, take risk, be free with it, do what they've trained themselves to do, as opposed to the athlete that underperforms in competition because they're trying so hard to be cautious and tentative and not make mistakes.
Mm, that's a great point. We were fortunate to have Dr. Carol Dweck speak to us. She's a psychology professor down at Stanford, and she wrote a book called Mindset, where she talks about athletes and just what you were talking about, Patrick, that have a tentativeness or caution around their skill set. And they basically play to not look bad and to play well enough for the expectations of the parents and the coaches and their peers, versus athletes that are in a growth mindset that think that they can continually improve upon themselves. And a big piece of that is having the confidence to be aggressive and take risks and try to make things happen. And even at the highest level, and people like we talk about Michael Jordan and how he continued to elevate his game even when he was already a superstar, just that growth mindset and the continued practice and the risk-taking that he implemented into his game.
I think coaches can really influence that, can't they? I mean, if they scold kids for mistakes, they bench kids for mistakes, that they're going to learn, you know, that they need to be careful and they need to be tentative. I know I worked with a kid that would miss a couple of shots in a game, and he'd be looking over at the coach, waiting for the coach to bench him, and then he would get very tentative. He would start passing off the ball. Mm. And not wanting to shoot as often, because in the back of his mind, he's going, well, I'm either going to get an earful from the coach or I'm going to get benched. So I think at least at the team level, coaches have a tremendous and parents, I would say, too, with the whole car ride home. But coaches have a tremendous impact upon how freely the athletes are going to play, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a cultural thing that comes from leadership on down to coaches and parents also. We try to implement in our trainings, get everybody involved and speaking the same verbiage there. So there isn't one constituency that doesn't buy into what we're talking about, especially about this topic there. And a lot what you were just saying about that one child that misses a couple shots and the self-talk, and we hear it all the time, where I stink or I'm bad, it becomes a judgment on their character beyond just the playing field there. A really powerful tool, even with younger kids, and something I use with my 7-year-old is, you know, he says, I can't do this, I can't make this shot, I can't stop a shot, he likes to play goalie. And we talk about changing that statement of fact into a feeling. You know, you feel like you can't stop it. Can feelings change? And he's like, yes. So he gets that idea. I feel like I can't stop it, but I'm the kind of kid that doesn't give up. So I work a lot with him on his self-talk and what he's telling himself about the situation. And it's not easy. I think the default is the other, the negative self-talk.
But that fact, as you say, fact versus feeling, that's a very interesting concept. But for them, the feeling is a fact, isn't it?
right. Well, so it's that message is coming down. What do you do with it when you hear it? You know, mm-hmm. I feel like I can't make the shot, but I'm the kind of kid that doesn't give up easily, and I'm going to try again.
You know, whenever we have this discussion, I always talk about Donnie, my favorite coach for my son, who knew that my son was always a little uptight when he first entered a game, and he would just put him in at the very beginning and let him go and make his mistakes, and he would keep him in the game, knowing that he was going to warm up and start playing better. But very few coaches are willing to do that, and it really produced good results for him.
Well, that's a huge thing, and we saw it on the World Cup level where players were making mistakes, and the coach would I'm thinking about the game with Ghana where the guy missed a penalty kick at the end of regulation against Uruguay, I believe it was, and yet when it went to penalty kicks, the coach had him take the first shot, and the same kind of thinking there that, you know what, you're my guy, I'm going to stick with you, I'm not going to let this, you know, ruin your confidence and drain your emotional tank.
Right.
Talk about the shooter's mentality. I can't take credit for that. I think it comes from originally from one of my mentors, Bob Rattel at University of Virginia, but we apply that to help kids, you know, take more of a shooter's mentality rather than passing the ball off and say, no, I can't. You play the odds game, the more you miss, the chances are increasing that you're going to make the next one.
Oh, yeah.
If you're 50% from the field, the odds are that if you miss a couple times, then the chances are, you know, so just that whole mindset shift from I'm going to keep missing, it's not my day today, to, okay, let's play the odds game, and the more I miss, the more likely I'm going to make the next one. So it keeps them shooting, keeps them, you know, taking that risk.
It's just like the old sales mantra, you know, each no gets you closer to the yes in the sale. So I agree with that 100%. And I'm thinking also of Ray Allen. I like to make these comparisons to professional or elite collegiate athletes to let people know that it does work at that level also, some of this stuff. And he had games where he was just awful from 3 points, and he kept shooting and kept shooting in the finals. And he I think, set a record in the second game in L.A. this year after having an atrocious one where he went 0 for 17 or something in the first, just kept shooting. I think he made 8 3-pointers in the second game there. Same thing. He got the misses out of his system. He got closer to that make.
That's great. Now, Patrick, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think that's great. From a strictly a mental game perspective, the keys for me are, you know, confidence, decisiveness, and trust. If kids can have the confidence in their skills, they can trust what they've trained and what they've practiced, and they can be decisive, you know, with their decision making, that's going to lead them to playing more freely and not worry about making mistakes.
That's very well said.
Great. Well, Bruce, once again, it's been fun to have you on, and I want our listeners to know that we've also got a video posted of Bruce on our Kids Sports Psychology website, and we will have you back again.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Patrick. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Take care.
To listen to the end of this interview, visit kidssportspsychology.com.